This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So this morning when I was getting ready to come into church, I'm just going to step over here for a minute. So I was driving over the Pensacola Bay Bridge, and oh my gosh, you all, it was beautiful, right? It was beautiful this morning. And the water was glassy, which I don't know if you know, Pensacola Bay, that doesn't happen very often. And there were all these boats that you could see them pulling out, ready to go fishing. And I was envious, right? I said, man, this would be a great morning to be out on the water. And so as I'm driving in to St. John's and watching other people go do other things, I was like, golly, okay, well, this is why it's great when people show up, because we all appreciate the outdoors. We all love the weather, and we're here because we also love God. So I was thinking about as I was driving in, and I was reminded of a story, Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey is a very popular actor, and he wrote a book recently called Greenlight. It's actually quite good. It's a bit of a memoir and sort of the things he's learned through the industry of being an actor. And he remembers this one line, and this may go over some people's heads, but if you don't know the movie, other people you know will. Dazed and Confused. So Dazed and Confused is this hippie movie, right? And it's about this bunch of kids who just graduated high school. And it's like their first day, summer night after high school in the 70s. Right, so some of you remember what those nights were like, I'm sure. It was long before parents had tracking devices on their phone, on kids' phones, right? So, and he's thinking about, he's getting into this character. So he's an older guy, this character is this older guy who's already graduated, right? So here's this graduating, you guys might remember those people too. Graduate, they're in college, but they're still hanging out with the high school kids sometimes, you know? But they're like the old mature one. So he's trying to get into his character, and they're getting ready to shoot anyway. And he has this famous line that everyone, even now to this day, as he, all the movies he's been in and things that he's done, people say, say it, say your famous line. And it's like, all right, all right, all right. And so the story behind, like, how did he come up with this line? So he loves to tell the story because he's like, well, I was thinking. He was like, I'm trying to get into character. This guy, I forget the guy's name, but anyway, I'm trying to get into characters. He's the oldest guy. So he's like, so he's pulling up, you know, everybody's hanging out at like the drive-thru. And he goes, so I got my car, right? I love my car. All right. Right? He's like, and you know, I got some money in my pocket. I got a job. So I got some money in my pocket. All right. That's two all right. And he goes, and for lack of a better, it's in the 70s. He's like, so, and I like my dope. I like my pot. And my buddy over here always has a joint. So that's three. And he goes, and I like to date girls. And he goes, and that's where we're headed. So he's like, so I got three out of four. All right, all right, all right. So as I was driving up this morning, I said, so what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to sing some songs. All right. We're going to say some prayers. All right. Right? We're going to take Holy Communion. All right. And hopefully there'll be a good sermon in there somewhere. So I was thinking about, all right, all right, all right. So that's what we could do about the fourth one. But I was thinking about we encounter Jesus again today, and here's the thing. So we're in this season of Eastertide, and the whole point of the Holy Scriptures that we're hearing throughout this season is the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead, right? Now, some other Christians and other people may disagree with me, but without the resurrection, in my opinion, there is no Christianity, right? The resurrection is what created this thing that we are still talking about and still following to this day. So it's important in the Holy Scriptures. Last week we heard about John and how he writes about the encounter of Jesus with the disciples as alive. Today we have Luke, and Luke loves details. And so the goal here is he ate something. He was truly alive. He was not a ghost, not a figment of their imagination. He was alive. And so the point here, as we also read, is that he is alive. So what does that mean for us? Right? Because we're continuing the story. The story doesn't end when Jesus goes to join God the Father. The story is just beginning with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we get these reading from Acts. Now, the book of Acts in Holy Scripture really is a book about the first Christian communities, right? First century. They probably didn't even call themselves Christians at the time, which I've mentioned before. That word would have come later. But they were followers, they were disciples of the way of this man Jesus. And it was this resurrection that inspired so many people to take a second look. And we encounter in Acts today, and we have Peter is sitting there, he's addressing the people, and Peter is saying, "You Israelites, why are you wondering and staring at us? We didn't do this. We are not making this up. This is the power of God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the one, the God that you know, the God that you worship has been glorified through this man, Jesus Christ. And you all," as he talks to the crowd, "you all were the ones that handed him over. You all were the ones that rejected him in the presence of Pilate, the authority of Rome. You all were decided that a murderer be released instead of him. And you killed the author of life." So he's looking out at this crowd and they're wondering, like, you know, "Tell us more." And Peter's like, why do you wonder about this? We told you all of this. And yet you didn't believe us. And he said, so essentially, you have blood on your hands, he says to them. "But to this, that God raised him from the dead, we are witnesses. We have seen it." But then he says, "Now, friends, I know that you have acted in ignorance." Now, remember, they released a murderer. They called for Jesus' crucifixion. He says, "I know you acted in ignorance. And I know that the rulers also acted in ignorance. But repent. Turn your hearts back to God. And all of that will be wiped out." Now, friends, I can't imagine a stronger message of grace than for Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be standing in front of a crowd and saying, "You all sent him to be murdered. God wants you to return. You will be forgiven." And as I read this, I think there is truly nothing that we can do in our life to separate us from God. There is truly nothing. If God is willing and Peter is telling these people, "Yes, you crucified Jesus Christ, an innocent man, but God still loves you and God wants to forgive you and God will if you will simply turn and return." That's a massive amount of grace, is it not? So then we hear from this letter, the first letter of John, as they say, "See what love that God has given us, that we should be called children." That we should be called children of God. And see, what's happening is the Israelites, the Jewish people, they were considered the people of God. Jesus' death and resurrection expanded that umbrella to incorporate all of us, which is why we are called, as the gospel says, to proclaim his name to all nations. That we start there in Jerusalem. That we are called to continue to be witnesses of this message of grace and abundant love. And so I love this picture here of children. We hear in a couple of different places, we are called children of God. Beloved children. My children. And I was thinking about this idea that we are called as children to proclaim this name, this beautiful thing that's happened, this idea that grace encompasses all things, that grace can overcome anything, that we're supposed to share that. And so I thought about our lovely children's center. Now, I spend time with them at least once a week, sometimes more. And usually about 3 or 4 days later, I get sick. It's been a while since I've been around little kids. Y'all, they're like little petri dishes. I thought I had, I mean, I'm in my 40s, but there are still germs out there apparently that I've never come in contact with. And I was over there earlier this week, and they love to play outside. And one of the things I love about the environment that we try to create is it's not sterile, right? So they get dirty. And they love to get dirty. And it's cute because early on when parents first start coming, they'll, you know how you want to dress your kid up all cute, you know, cute little outfits. After about the first week, they stop doing that because they come home all dirty and muddy. And so it's like, whatever we can get on the kid. And so I went over there and I had these nice light-colored blue pants on. And I went over and they all come running up to me, and guess how high they are? They're about this high with their snotty fingers and their muddy hands, and they're all over my pants. And when I came back to the office and I sat down, I was filthy. And I thought as I was reading this today, and then again, 2 days later, all those runny noses got me. So I have a runny nose. I'll be careful with communion, I promise. But I was like, you know, that's what God wants us as children, to spread. To spread like a germ this beautiful truth about grace and love to people who aren't even expecting it, who've never heard it before. That's what we are called to do as children. And while it's easy for these little children to spread their joy, to spread their germs, to spread their dirt, to bring it wherever they go, that's what God wants from us. To spread the joy, to spread the truth, wherever we go, whether people want it or not, somehow to spread that around. God's grace is big and wide. Richard Rohr says, he's a monk, he's a prolific writer, a spiritual, contemplative, and he talks about the resurrection. And he says the resurrection is not Jesus' private miracle. Right? This is why Jesus came to see people. It's not Jesus' private miracle. He says it's the new shape of reality. This reality that this happened so that today, here on Sunday, this beautiful day in Northwest Florida and Pensacola, we would hear this message of grace. It's a new shape of reality. It's a new shape of the world. It's filled with grace. It's filled with possibility. It's filled with newness. So I'm glad we're all here together today to take a little bit of time out of this glorious Sunday morning to remind ourselves and one another, and hopefully the people we encounter throughout the day and the week, that this is the true way of life. And it is filled with grace. It is filled with possibility. And every day it is filled with newness. Amen.